Praise God, praise God. Well, let's go back to 1 John, the first epistle of John. Hallelujah. Now, I wasn't here last week, but Minister Tony ministered to you, and praise God for the word of God that he delivered to you. Amen. But week before that, I think, who ministered? Did you minister before that? So it's been a little while. It's been a little while. So praise God. But I want you to go to the third chapter of the first epistle of John. And that's where we have been in this past few weeks, in the first epistle of John. Now, I want to just begin at verse one and just read. All right. We've covered some of this already. But you do know faith comes by hearing. And hearing is a continual thing. Amen. It's a continual thing. So in the very first verse of the third chapter of 1 John, and as you know, I have my New King James Bible here that I use. It says, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us." Hallelujah. Glory to God. Tell somebody that God loves them. Amen. Oh, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Hallelujah. It's an honor to be a child of God. It's an honor to be in the family of God. It's an honor to have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's an honor to know that your true citizenship is in heaven. Yes, we're in our bodies in the earth, so technically we are a citizen of two worlds. We are a citizen here on this earth while we're in our bodies, but we have an eternal home, glory to God, and our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. This is temporary. Heaven is forever. Amen. Verse 2, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." That excites me. I hope it does you too. Glory to God. "And everyone who has this hope." Now, let me stop right there for a minute. And you've heard me say this before. One of the things that this book of John, the first epistle of John here, is doing is getting the people of God established in the faith. He don't want us wishy-washy. He want us established. He want us grounded in the things of God. Amen. So listen at what verse 3 says. Listen, verse 3 is referring back to verse 1 and 2. It says, "And everyone who has this hope does something." "And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." Now, what we find here, and I'll continue reading in a moment here. But what we find here is we've been told that we are loved by God. That's good news. We've been told that we are loved by God, and we are told that we are children of God. That's those of us who have received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that we are a child of God. Amen. Glory to God. But he goes on to say that having that knowledge, then that brings hope to us. That gives us hope. You know, it blesses me to know that I have a great future, and I hope you feel the same way. It's a blessing to me to know that I have a great future. But my job is not to just sit back and twiddle my thumbs or just go and doing everything that I want to do. Notice it says here, and they have it on the screen now, and everyone who has this hope in him does what? Purifies himself just as he is pure. Let me tell you something. While we are here in this earth, we are supposed to be doing something. We are supposed to be doers of the word of God and not hearers only. Some folks love hearing, but when it comes to the doing, that's a whole nother story. But we are to be doers. And there's some things that we have to do. I'm glad to know that I'm born again. I'm glad to know that the Spirit of the living God abides on the inside of me. But there's something that I must do. Why? Because I live, all of us, because we live in a fallen world. And because we live in a fallen world and we live in our earthly bodies, we are going to have to deal with things here in this world. Some temptations. You know, the things in this world we're going to have to deal with. And remember, I've been ministering on this John. This is the Gospel of John, chapter 17, where Jesus was praying for all of us. And the thing he prayed was, and you know this, he says, Father, I don't pray that you take them out of the world. Don't take them, you know, our time is not yet. You know, there's coming a time that we're going to depart this world. But while we are here, there's some things that we need to be doing for God and glorifying him. So he prayed for us and he said, Father, I don't pray that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil. In other words, keep them from the evil that's in the world or the evil one that's in the world. Amen. Hallelujah. We can be in this world and yet live for God. We can be in this world and still live a life of victory. You don't have to live a life of defeat. You can live a life of victory. Amen? Because everyone, this is verse 3 again, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Then he proceeds on. He says, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know, this is verse 5, and you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Now, let me clarify this. What it is saying is if we abide in him, we don't practice sin. Sinning is not our goal. It's not our lifestyle to live in opposition to the will of God. Amen. Verse 6. I'm just reading a little bit. Whoever abides in him does not sin or practice sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Let no one deceive you. I heard, this has been years and years ago, and someone told us, but it was this particular person, and that he was in, well, he was a minister, okay? He's a pastor, actually. And this has been some years ago. And he weren't living right. And so he would tell some of the folks, especially some of the ladies, you know, said, you know, go ahead, because you know, I think he was sleeping with some of them. It's all right. Go ahead and sleep with me or whatever. God will forgive you. Go ahead and do it and then ask God to forgive you. How many of you know that's dangerous? Matter of fact, that's very dangerous. See that? Now that's practicing sin. You need, and I hope that person's in heaven now. I hope he repented, you know, because how can you do that, especially to your flock? Let's read on. Where did I stop? Verse 7. Okay. Yes, verse 7. Little children, let no one deceive you. So listen, we have been cautioned. Let no one deceive you. I don't care who they are, what position they hold, how many degrees they got. You better know God for yourself. You better know the word of God for yourself. That way you won't fall for deception. You'll recognize it. You'll know this ain't right. This is not of God. This does not line up with God's word. So he said, little children, let no one deceive you. Listen to this. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. See that? He who sins is of the devil. Now that's he's who's practicing sin. Remember, Jesus was teaching and he was telling them that he would be crucified. He would suffer for them. And he was just letting them know in advance some things that was going to happen to him. But Peter decided to grab him and pull him over to the side. And he rebuked Jesus. Can you imagine that? Oh, come on, Jesus, Lord, that's not going to happen to you. No, that can't happen. Anybody remember what Jesus told him? Say it loud. Get thee behind me, Satan, because you don't perceive the things of God. Now, he was talking to one of his disciples. And what was happening there is Peter, yes, he was a disciple. He was called by Jesus Christ and he did great works after Jesus ascended to heaven, wrote part of the Bible. But at that particular time, he yielded himself to the devil. He yielded himself to the devil. Everything that he was speaking to Jesus came from the devil. So Jesus spoke to Peter and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." But he was talking to the devil that was influencing him. Amen. So verse 8 says, "He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning." And I love the second half of verse 8. Put verse 8 on the screen if you can. Hallelujah, glory to God. I want everybody to see this. "He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning." Why don't you finish reading the rest of that verse? Just look at the screen and read it out loud. Go ahead. Hallelujah. "For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." And you know what? He whipped him. He whipped him. Glory to God. He made a show of him openly. Do you know that the devil is a defeated foe? So listen, can I tell you something? When we make a decision to listen to the devil and do what he's telling us, we're listening to a loser. And guess what we will become? Losers. Because we're receiving bad information. Hallelujah. All righty. Y'all still with me? I know I've been just reading here, but thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. Verse 9, whoever has been born of God does not sin. In other words, he or she don't practice sinning. For his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of the Father. And I'm so glad that in this same book, 1 John, in the very first chapter, the ninth verse, it says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us," right, "of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Glory be to God. Hallelujah. "In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother or sister. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." Hallelujah. You're still here. Now, for a few minutes, I don't know if I'll finish tonight. In verse 12, it says, okay, let me read verse 11. Again, "For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." And verse 12 says, "Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother." And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Hallelujah. I shared some of this a few years ago. Or sometime back, I'm not exactly sure when it was. But I want us to take another look at Cain, because the Bible has a lot to say about Cain and Abel as well. In the New Testament, it has a lot to say about Cain. But right now, I want us to go to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. And I want to talk to you about Cain and Abel a little bit, mainly Cain, because we can learn something from Cain. How many of you would rather learn from somebody else's mistake than to make that mistake yourself? And do you know what's recorded in the Bible that other people did, mistakes that they made, sins and so forth, things that they did? They're put there so that we don't make the same mistakes that they made. Are you still here? Hallelujah. It says in verse 1, I'm in Genesis chapter 4 here. It says, "Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother, Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground." Look at verse 3. "And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord." You see that? Cain brought the fruit of the ground to the Lord. "Abel also," this is verse 4, "Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering." Let's take a look at Cain for a moment. Notice, well, let's look at Abel first. They have it on the screen. "Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering." Number one, Abel gave God his best. And he gave God the firstborn of his flock. That's the tithe. He gave to God. And it says, not only did he give the firstborn of his flock, he says, and their fat. He gave God everything, the best. How many of you know God deserves our best? Listen to me. God deserves our best. So that's what Abel gave. But now let's go back up and take a look at what Cain did. Verse 3. "And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord." Now, if we read on, we find out that God was not pleased with Cain. He was not happy, so to speak, with Cain's offering that he gave him. Wonder why. Cain wanted to have things his way. How many of you know some of us are like that? You know, I know what God wants, and I know what God is asking for, but this is what I would rather do. I heard a preacher say one time, young preacher, and we was having a Bible study, and we took some time just to praise and to worship the Lord. And I was standing right beside him when he said this. He says, "Lord, I know you calling me to teach. That's what he said. He said, Lord, I know you calling me to teach, but I want to preach. That's what he said. I heard him. I was standing right beside him. I want to preach. But these words came from his mouth. God, I know you're calling me to teach, but I want to preach. And he became a preacher, a pastor. He pastored several churches. Some of y'all are familiar with some of the churches because this happened in this area. But here's the sad thing. This pastor was younger than I am. A few years younger than I am. This pastor been gone several years ago. He's no longer with us. I'm not trying to say this is the reason or that's the reason, okay? I'm not saying that. But I am saying this. You can get yourself in trouble when you're operating out of the will of God. In other words, that's not, if God, listen, I want to tell y'all something. If I didn't know that I know that I know that I know God called me to preach and pastor, you're not going to be hearing from me. If God called me to be the bus driver, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to drive the bus and praise God while I'm driving it. If all I can do is help clean the church and flush the commodes and do all, I'm going to do it. Have done it. Been there. Have done it. But you know what? I did it for God's glory. And of course, I did it to help my pastor and carry out his wishes. Okay? I was obedient to my pastor. I honored my pastor. But everything I did for the glory of God. I'm not going to tell God, this is what I know you want me to do, but I don't want to do that. I want to do this other thing. Huh? No. We better obey God. But we see here that Cain, he wanted to do things his way. And God wasn't pleased with that. Let's read on. So let's read verse 4 and we'll go on to verse 5. I'm not going to finish this. I have to finish it later. But verse 4 again. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering because Abel's heart was right. Not only did he bring God his best, but it was an act of worship. You hear me? It was an act of worship. Verse 5, but God did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was what? He wasn't just angry. He was very angry. Angry, and his countenance fell. So what did that tell you? Not only did Cain want to do things his way, Cain had an anger problem. Cain had an attitude that he needed to deal with. Let me tell you something. Sometimes that applies to us. Sometimes we need to do a self-examination. Amen. especially if you're married. Yeah. The same Bible that says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever will believe on him will not perish but have everlasting life. That same Bible tells the husband to love the wives. And tells the wife to honor and respect her husband. I think I'm preaching a little bit better than y'all saying amen. Who's that, Brother Hagin? You say if you can't say amen, just yell out, oh me. You don't have to do that. Amen. But can you see, Cain had an anger problem. That's the reason he didn't bring God his best. He gave God what he wanted God to have. Amen. Oh, my. Folks, we're running out of time. Are y'all getting anything out of this? Listen to this. Verse 5 again. But he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, what did he tell him? Sin lies at the door. And its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Don't yield to the fleshly desire. You rule over it. Amen. So he had problems with his tithe and his offering and giving to God. And worshiping God. I want to finish this, but I want you to go with me to Proverbs chapter 3. And I'm probably going to stop right here. And we'll pick it up later on. Proverbs chapter 3. Look at verse 9. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with what? Put that on the screen, guys. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. Proverbs 3, 9. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. Let me tell you something. We can never repay God for what he has done for us and what he is doing for us. And if you want to experience his goodness, just take a breath right now. Breathe in and out. You know, if you can do that, you're living. Amen. You live it. So verse 9, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruit of all your increase. But listen at what God says, because you can never outgive God. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Glory to God. I said glory to God. And I want to leave it right here by reading you this. Abel brought the firstlings of his flock. He gave God his best. But Cain just brought him a little offering. In other words, the leftovers. The leftovers. Amen. I want to finish this, but I'm not going to have time to do it tonight. Hallelujah. Give God praise for his word, will you? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for being so good to us. Father, we stand on your word, which declares that you will never leave us.